Oh, I cannot wait to break down the Denver-Pittsburgh game, the Detroit-New Orleans game. We're looking at the AFC home games and a special Monday Night Football preview as well. Fantasy Football Today, this episode is supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right on your own computer and printer for a four-week trial, a special $110 bonus offer. Just go to Stamps.com. There's a microphone. Click on it. Enter the promo code FFT. Adam, Dave, and Jamie, earlier we were talking about our five best podcasts, and we think last Friday, Jamie, you put last Friday up there, the Stain Show?
Oh, yeah. It's not really like, you know, it's probably unfair to say our top five best podcasts.
But it's like a
it's
moment.
It's probably our best podcast moments.
Yeah, right, I don't know if we have a best podcast, like beginning
Nando's,
to end.
Nando's last one.
That was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
That was pretty fun.
And that's usually the one that people reference. It's the reason I thought of this, because somebody tweeted that I haven't heard the woe, like Adam spells woe wrong. We found that out last night.
Yeah.
And he was upset that Nando and I pointed that out to him publicly. On Twitter, if you call it publicly.
Yeah.
In any event, so somebody tweeted us back and said, I haven't seen or heard the woe, woe, woe since Nando's last podcast. I'm still laughing from that. So it got me thinking our best podcast, I guess, moments. So I, the Stain for sure is on that list.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I thought of were Touchdown There.
Oh, that was
one
great.
Of my favorite moments. And the first time we stole your wallet playing Hot and Cold.
Also right. Very funny.
Was good. And then, Adam, you brought up A Little Devil Do You, which is an all-time classic.
That really was an all-time classic. And for people that don't know, so A Little Devil Do You was what? What was the brand? What was that slogan?
Brill Cream, right?
I think it was something like that. It's like an old-school type of shaving cream.
Right. Right.
And their slogan was, a little dabble do ya. And so someone wrote in as that, and Adam, you pronounced that as?
Well, I thought it was the guy's name or whatever, and he's like, I was like, a leal dabble, and then you guys just lost it.
Yeah.
Really no, it was funny. A leal dabble.
I don't even remember, but I had never heard that before, so.
It was a full-on butchering.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show. We have plenty to talk about today. I want to tell you that tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, tune in to CBSSports.com. Nick Kostos and Todd Furman have bowl picks for you, and they will be very sharp. Those guys have been good all year long with their picks. So bowl picks at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Friday on CBSSports.com. Go to Sportsline.com/FFT. Check out all of our podcasts at CBSSports.com/podcast. We got Daily Fantasy. We got a gambling podcast. We got a lot of good stuff for you. Thursday Night Live tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, Fantasy Football Today, noon Eastern, Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern until kickoff on Sunday. And, Dave, is it me and you on Saturday night?
It's us. It's a date.
All
plus
right.
You guys alone tomorrow, too.
Oh, well, maybe Heath. Maybe Heath. But no Jamie tomorrow on the podcast. But Saturday night, Eye on Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio, live at 10 p.m. Eastern. We take your phone calls until midnight. So, look, we have a great Canadian audience. I have to apologize to them for not knowing the names of their prime ministers. Brian James tweets, fellas, Trudeau, Harper, and Campbell are all prime ministers of Canada. Classic Americans. And then Stephen writes, Obama, Bush, and Clinton. Nobody's ever heard of them. You made them up. Hashtag worldview, hashtag USA. So I apologize. Now, here's our question of the day. I've been getting a lot of this. Before we break down the games and the news and all that, should teams that are in the consolation bracket be able to make ad drops? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I have a league, and unfortunately one of my teams is in the consolation bracket. And here's what we do for if you want to make an ad drop. Tough noogies. You're not allowed. Everybody that's on waivers, that's for winners only, not for losers. You're in the loser lounge. You cannot pick people up.
Okay.
Thank you.
But what if there's like a prize at the...
There's a prize in my consolation bracket, too. The winner of the consolation bracket gets the top pick in the draft next year.
But why? Well, obviously, you want to lose then. But why?
No. You want the top pick.
Oh, if you win, you
get bracket, you get the top pick.
But if there's something on the line, shouldn't you be allowed to set your lineup in a way that is fair?
You're a loser. No, the answer is no. You cannot pick up somebody. You cannot pick people up after the first day of waivers for the winning teams. Mm-hmm. You cannot steal players that would otherwise go to the successful teams that are trying to win a championship. They should not be impeded in their quest.
Okay. All right. Works for
me. Sorry for being a jerk, but
Dave
you suck.
Dave is such a jerk. Such a jerk. Now, listen, Jonathan Stewart not going to play this week, as we'll get to some of the big news items. Jonathan Stewart not going to play.
See, I told you he'd get hurt.
And Seattle signed Kristen Michael yesterday. So who would you rather start, Fozzie Whitaker or Bryce Brown?
I'm going to go with Brown.
Bryce Brown.
All right, so talk about those situations.
I think just the matchup and the game flow will probably – it should – this is all theoretical with both of these running backs, but especially what's going on in Seattle. Theoretically, Bryce Brown will get the most opportunities against Cleveland. The whole world thinks that Seattle's going to blow him out. The whole world is probably right. And so Bryce Brown could get opportunities in the second half, fourth quarter, and maybe even before then to pick up some yardage and just play. This is, I would imagine that what we're going to see from the Seahawks is a 2 to 3 week tryout to see who's going to back up Marshawn Lynch in the playoffs. I think that's how they're viewing it.
Or back up Thomas Rawls next year.
Maybe that too. So there's a lot on the line for these running backs. They're all going to get tested and get out there and see what they can do. And I think Michael could eventually get that opportunity as well.
They hate him though.
I that's what I think. But if they hated him so much, they wouldn't have brought him back.
Well, he knows their system. So. What's better?
They're desperate.
DeJuan Harris or Kristen Michael?
It's Michael. They're desperate at running back, and clearly they didn't like DeJuan Harris. Bryce Brown will get the first bite at the apple.
All right, so.
But he's not going to get every single snap.
How about this? Why don't you give me, obviously I don't want to hold you to this. This is a very difficult assignment, but as you make your rankings and you think about starting and sitting, your best guess of the split of carries percentage wise, what percent does Bryce Brown get? What percent does Kristen Michael get?
I'd probably say 50% to Brown, and then the other 50% is divvied up between the other three guys.
The other three guys? Who are the
I'm
three
nervous
guys?
To even say 50% of carries or 50% of snaps?
Touches.
Okay.
Because they don't throw the ball to their running backs a ton. So Fred Jackson's not going to really play that much.
Yeah, but they might change that up a little bit.
Why? With Russell Wilson clicking?
Because that's
receivers.
What they've got at running back. Well, trust me. Obviously, they want Russell Wilson to head downfield, but if those guys are covered, who knows? Maybe Cleveland's allowed to play with 12 guys. He can dump it off.
I'd still take Russell Wilson's receivers versus Cleveland with 12 guys.
All right. And then as far as Fozzie Whitaker goes, what level of excitement do you have about adding him at the Giants?
He's definitely above waiting for the dentist, but not clearly as good as walking out of the dentist's office after you've seen the dentist. He's somewhere in between.
Would you rather start Whitaker or Bolden this week, guys?
Brandon or Anquan?
Brandon.
I'd rather go Brandon.
Oh, Brandon.
All right, fine. Anquan.
I like Brandon better than Bryce Brown, too.
How about Anquan Bolden or Whitaker?
I'm not a big fan of Anquan's this week.
Nope.
But I do like him as a person. He's okay. A really great guy.
Jamie, Julian Edelman practice. Any chance he plays this week?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if they'll actually use him, but there's certainly a chance at this point. It's now 2 weeks. It will be 2 weeks of him practicing. The report was he looked good, in his routes and his cuts. So I think you should be moderately excited if you're the Julian Edelman owner and you're stuck, and we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, and Tuesday, that if your, running back situation is a mess, and let's say you picked up Edelman last week or you've been stashing him, you don't necessarily have to use a running back in flex. You can use Edelman if he's available to.
Okay, and New England reportedly met with Steven Jackson, but nothing imminent there. C.J. Anderson is expected to play this week. We'll talk about him when we get to that game. And T.J. Yeldon has a sprained MCL. He is apparently making progress. Do you guys expect T.J. Yeldon to play this week?
He's even come out and said he just wants to play week 16.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Well, that makes things easier.
Denard Robinson time, baby.
And Twitter poll time. All right, I asked two questions last night to people on Twitter. They were not about movies. They were about fantasy football. Who would you rather start in a half-point PPR league, Brandon Bolden against Tennessee or Denard Robinson against Atlanta? What would you guys say, and what do you think the public said?
Robinson, and the public said Robinson.
And it's going to be Robinson 75-25 over Bolden.
I thought it would be a little closer. It was Robinson, 829 votes, 86% for Denard Robinson. I know, Dave, that you like Brandon Bolden, but you like Robinson better. So are we all in on Denard Robinson this week against the Falcons?
I am.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's a top 10 running back this week.
Wow.
I'm totally buying in. I love the matchup for him against Atlanta. They've allowed, I believe, 5 touchdowns to running backs in their last 3 games.
Yeah, but some of those guys have been pretty good.
And 5.2 yards per carry.
Andrew Peterson had 2 of those.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not... The Falcons' run defense is not as good as their pass
is
defense.
Soli
their pass defense is starting.
Is Paul Soli playing?
It's a good question. And if he's out
the last 2 games, I mean.
Yeah, if he's out again, and I can check on the injury report. I can pull that up. I think Robinson's going to be in a position to do what Yeldon would have done. And if Yeldon was playing in this game, I'd rank him as a top 10 running back.
Okay, fair enough. And we'll talk Bolden in a second. Now, this one, more interesting. Who would limited you rather start?
For Solia.
So he might go. That could hurt him a little.
What did you say, limited practice?
Limited practice for Paul Solia.
Okay. Ben Roethlisberger against Denver or Matthew Stafford at New Orleans this week? I had over 1,000 votes for this one, so a popular Twitter poll. Who would you guys go with, and what do you think the public said?
Stafford and Stafford, 60-40.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say they picked Big Ben. I would take Big Ben. And I'm going to say 60-40 in Big Ben's favor.
The public wants Matthew Stafford this week with 66% of the nearly 1,100 votes going to Matthew Stafford, 34% for Roethlisberger. Yeah, Dave, what is Stafford, 13th for you?
Yeah.
All right, come on. It's at the Saints. What's going on here?
Well, the Saints defense, I think, is actually starting to play a little bit better. And I'm
a little bit. Yeah.
I'm not.
That was my Pete.
I'm not going crazy. I'm not going crazy over Stafford because we've done it before, and he hasn't delivered.
He hasn't delivered.
Well, against Philadelphia on Thanksgiving, he delivered, but the Eagles came in on a short week, just total different circumstance than this. And I think Stafford is just not going to have a great game. That's how I look at it right now. I actually haven't broken down the game yet, but. I look at Stafford and the fact that he hasn't been well over 20 fantasy points, and I don't get it. I don't know why people are going crazy over it. We went crazy over Jameis last week. He was a dud. We went crazy over Brian Hoyer. He was a dud. I will agree that Stafford is a better quarterback.
Those are so much different circumstances for Stafford compared to those three guys.
What's the circumstance?
Well, the Texans, the minute they got a lead, it was shutdown mode offensively.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do that with Detroit because they're going to be chasing points.
Right.
I think you agree that the Saints are going to put up points.
I would imagine that the Saints would light up a little.
Wait a second. I would tend to agree, but I don't think it is a certainty because Detroit is still playing pretty good football. Last week was not a good week, but they have played a lot better. They weren't chasing points against the Packers. They beat the Packers on the road. They should have beaten the Packers at home. If you throw out the Rams game, I don't think you sit there and say that New Orleans is going to you know, blow away the Detroit and they're going to be chasing points.
But if they do build a lead, I think it's going to be easier for them to defend Stafford.
I think come third quarter, it's a 2-touchdown deficit for the Lions.
Which makes it harder for Stafford to throw.
I think
because they're going to drop. No, it's not because they're going to drop 7 guys back.
They
will.
I don't see it.
And they're
going to
double team Calvin.
They statistically played well against the Texans in their pass defense, but they stopped throwing. And then they played a rookie quarterback who melted down in that game.
Right,
I don't see the same thing happening.
I don't love trusting Stafford. And I think Roethlisberger can find those other weapons in his offense and still get something
out
of Brown.
Great.
I think, yeah, I'm going to trust Roethlisberger at home than Stafford at New Orleans. And I don't think that Saints defense is as bad as you think it is.
It's bad.
Would you start Stafford or Kirk Cousins?
Cousins.
Oh, Stafford.
Cousins playing against Buffalo, they stink, and he's at home.
Buffalo stinks, but the Saints are great.
I'm not saying it's not about the Saints as much as it is about Stafford.
But you're trusting Kirk Cousins.
I am because seen it from Cousins. Let's make a bet on it. Cousins versus Stafford.
Fine. All right. So I'll make it easy on myself. We'll go double or nothing on the yearbook.
So now you got to put two yearbook photos.
I'll put a yearbook picture and I'll put a baby picture.
Okay. Fine. Double or nothing. I've got Cousins. He's got Stafford. I'm glad to take that.
I mean, to be fair to Dave, Cousins at home is a lot better than Stafford on the road.
He's been a monster.
Cousins at home has played well. His rushing touchdowns, I'm sure, will save him this week against the Bills.
Well, he's got mobility. I mean, you scoff at that, but he's not a statue.
Oh, no. Believe me, I'm hoping he does. I think a lot of people are starting
to. You're not hoping anymore.
And so, no, I hope he plays well.
By the way, I've seen your baby pictures. You were a very good-looking baby.
Thank you. I'd be happy if it's 25-24 Stafford's favor, which I think it will be in terms of fantasy production.
All right.
Not that I don't like Kirk Cousins. Doesn't like Stafford, which I just don't quite understand.
Well, because Stafford has had one game with more than 20 fantasy points in like his last five, and it was
the Eagles
the
whole
game.
Point. And it's not like I hate Stafford. You're just making it out to be that way. I've got him 13th. He's on the fence. If you've got him as your quarterback and your other option is Derek Carr or Cutler even, and I might even move those guys out of Stafford to be perfectly honest with you. I would go Stafford as of now.
See, now I think
I don't
now
see
I think
going
you're being
in there
a little,
and having a 4-touchdown game against New Orleans.
I think you're being a little too down on Stafford.
Sure, he could have 2 touchdowns.
Because, like, Mariota had a huge game at New Orleans, you know, and I actually think New Orleans defense probably plays better on the road. I think that actually helps Stafford that he's in New Orleans, because, like, if you look at Winston and Hoyer, they both disappointed. They both were outdoors against New Orleans. Well, what do we consider Houston?
That's indoors, and that's turf.
Is it? Okay. So that does, but Hoyer actually had a pretty damn good game. He just didn't put up the fantasy points.
Yeah. I mean, here's Stafford's stat line, and take into account matchups as you want to. 19, 20, 44, 20, 19.
Right.
It's like a perfect, like, palindrome of numbers.
Okay. Yeah, it's close. Is it a palindrome?
I guess it's not technically a palindrome, because then it would have to be 19, 20, 44, 02, 91.
Right, right.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I gotcha. That was good stuff. All right, listen, happy holidays, everybody, if I haven't said it yet. We got a great holiday present for you. We're giving you time. We're giving you money. We're giving you convenience, and that is all through stamps.com. Anybody want to go to the post office this time of year? Yeah, didn't think so. So for small businesses, if you're operating right now, it can be a real hassle. It can be a real waste of time to go to the post office. There are so many people there for their personal needs, sending out their holiday packages. You need to do your mailing and your shipping all from your home, from your desk, on your own computer and your own printer. Stamps.com allows you to do that. The instant you need it, you can mail any letter or package with Stamps.com. Join over 500,000 small businesses that are using Stamps.com. Never, ever go to the post office again. Right now, sign up at Stamps.com. Use our promo code FFT and you get a 4-week trial and a $110 bonus offer. That includes postage and a digital scale. So why not sign up for Stamps.com? It's a free trial for 4 weeks. So go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in FFT. That's FFT at Stamps.com. The rest of the injuries, Andrew Luck will not play. Matt Hasselbeck is expected to start. Dante Moncrief may not play due to a foot injury. Carolina could get cornerback Charles Tillman this week. I've actually seen some questions about starting Reuben Randall, so for whatever reason, keep that in mind. Josh Gordon was in the news, and it got me thinking, is that somebody that you would recommend Dynasty League owners picking up right now and stashing?
Absolutely.
I would imagine he's already owned in a bunch of Dynasty Leagues, but if he's somehow out there, sure. You can put him on the list.
New England claimed Leonard Hankerson off waivers. Any interest?
Not yet.
Buffalo cornerback Stephon Gilmore out for the year. Brian Hoyer has been ruled out this week. TJ Yates will start at the Colts. Three important Dolphins are limited in practice: Jarvis Landry, Rishard Matthews, and Lamar Miller. Which of those three do you expect to play? Rishard Matthews, Jarvis Landry, Lamar Miller.
I think Landry and Miller will play.
Sounds like all three.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like Matthews has a chance.
Really? So is Matthews... number two wide receivers have not done well at all against San Diego this year. Only twice has a second wide receiver scored double-digit fantasy points. Is Matthews just some, like, forget
no,
him and
you're
Parker?
Not starting him.
I think the Dolphins are mailing it in.
I
think this is the mail-in game before they come home.
Yeah, they just got
and then
they
bounce back.
Absolutely.
But you like Lamar Miller.
I think you got, well, I mean, Lamar Miller's playing for his money at this point.
Yeah, okay. Jacob Tammy was limited in practice. And do you expect the following players? Tyler Eifert at San Francisco.
No.
Nope.
Spencer Ware at Baltimore.
No.
I guess, yeah, he didn't practice on Wednesday. It looks like that rib injury could be more serious than what Andy Reid kind of led us to believe. That liar.
That's big news for Sharkandrick West.
Big red liar.
Andre Ellington at Philadelphia.
No.
Steve Johnson against Miami.
Negative.
Maybe.
DeSean Jackson against Philadelphia.
Yes.
Man, they're not playing Philadelphia. They're playing Buffalo. Pardon me. All right, we'll see. Three you like and three you don't this week. Dave, let's start with you. Okay, I like this one. A little bold. He's been cold lately. Amari Cooper you like this week against the Green Bay Packers.
Are you sure he's healthy?
2 weeks ago, yeah. That's the one thing, obviously, is that if he's not healthy, then you can't use him. The foot injury, we'll see how that looks by Friday. He had over 100 yards 2 weeks ago, so I don't know how cold he is. He hasn't found the end zone in a while.
Yeah, five games.
Right, that was a good game, but at least he had it, because if he hadn't had that, then there'd be no confidence. The reason why I've got some confidence is because I look at the matchup, and I see Sam Shields not practicing for Green Bay. If he misses the game, that makes the matchup a lot easier for the Raiders.
But you can't play him if Sam Shields plays.
Oh, I wouldn't. No. Okay. It all changes if Sam Shields plays. So okay. As of now, let's just lay out the scenario that his foot's okay, he practices in full by Friday, and Sam Shields does not practice and is ruled out, then you're going to start Cooper as a low-end number two receiver.
As of now, I think they expect Sam Shields to play, though.
I want to see him practice. He's got to get cleared.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it a million times with players who've been in this concussion protocol.
Yep.
Okay, so would you start him, Amari Cooper, if Sam Shields does not play over Larry Fitzgerald?
Yes.
If Shields does not play?
Yes.
Yes. Cooper over Fitzgerald.
Yeah. But I start Fitzgerald over him if Shields does play.
Yes, I would too.
All right. Next up, Randall Cobb. Same game. All right. What do you think?
It's just the matchup and the cornerbacks that he's going up against. And I'm not looking. This is starting Cobb not as a number one wide receiver, but more as a on the fence number two wide receiver. Had a decent game, definitely for PPR last week, 8 for 81. Maybe expect a little bit more from him there, but I would imagine that Cobb is still the best receiver in Green Bay, and I think he's got a chance to score going up against the Raiders cornerbacks.
I originally had him as a sit and start sit, and I wrote it last night after publishing it, so you may see some comments on there about Randall Cobb. And I went back and looked at it, and the thing that swayed me is his best game came so far with Mike McCarthy calling plays. And so I like that option. He looked good.
All right, and Dave, you actually have Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb back-to-back in your rankings based on the premise of Sam Shields not playing, and they are just inside the top 24, ahead of DeSean Jackson, ahead of Ted Ginn, ahead of Jeremy Maclin, but behind Mike Evans, in case you're wondering about tonight. Right. And finally, Brandon Bolden. You are starting Brandon Bolden against me in the Podcast League semifinals. So while I do agree with
you. This is great. First I took out Jamie, and now I get to take out Adam in the Podcast League. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, good luck. I mean.
Yeah.
Just don't have your quarterback. It hurt you.
Who's your quarterback this week, Adam?
Bortles or Eli. I'll go Bortles.
I hope you give that game the bonanza treatment. So look. You look at what the Patriots have at running back. It's James White. It's Brandon Bolden. I would be stunned if White got 20 carries and was the one killing the clock in a blowout win over Tennessee. I think this is going to be a blowout win over Tennessee. And so if LeGarrette Blount was playing in this game, we'd have him ranked fairly high with the opportunity to score, get 60 yards on top of it. That's what I think Brandon Bolden can potentially do for you. And if you're in a pinch at running back, I think he's good enough to go with as a low-end number two choice.
Brandon Bolden or Frank Gore?
Bolden.
Brandon Bolden.
I'm done with Gore.
You know, I have an interesting note on Frank Gore.
But I don't know if it necessarily has to do with him. It's just his situation.
All right, but...
It's kind of him, too.
Yeah, no. Here's something to consider with Frank Gore. Just saying. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Isaiah Crowell last week when he had been so bad for so long, but every team he had played was pretty good against the run until he finally got one that wasn't. Now, Gore has been under 4 yards per carry in 6 straight games. All 6 of those teams hold their opponents to less than 4 yards per carry on the season. All 6 of them are in the top half of the league in rushing yards per game allowed. And 4 of the 6 are actually in the top 8. So he has quietly had this brutal schedule in terms of run defenses. And it eases up a little bit this week with Houston. Just saying. But yeah,
Bolden. I don't know if it eases up this week.
I mean, they haven't been great against the run lately.
Houston?
Yes, as
I recall.
You're
looking at the season, or you're looking at the last 5 weeks.
Well, let me look at the stats I had. Well,
yeah, you want to look at the last 6 weeks. And last
a running back has averaged at least 4.5 yards per carry against Houston in 5 straight games with a minimum of 8 carries. They just haven't been run on a lot. So, you know, not a lot of workload, but
I mean, you either got a banged up Hasselbeck or a terrible Charlie White.
I mean, look, I don't want to start Frank Gore. I thought it was interesting. So we'll see what happens. All right. Jamie's 3 that he likes. You like Big Ben. All right. So a lot of people want to know Big Ben against the vaunted Denver Broncos. And you're okay with him this week.
You go back to last year and there's obviously 2 very inflated games in there, but going back to last year since his second home game of the season. But I guess it's all last season. And this year, including the dud against Cincinnati, he averages nearly 30 fantasy points a game at home.
Yeah, he's incredible.
So in his building, he's pretty impressive. And you look at the teams that's had success against the Broncos. There's only been 2 guys. It's Andrew Luck and Tom Brady. Those are obviously two elite guys, especially when Luck is on his game. And they just have a variety of weapons that it's hard for all those Broncos guys to cover. T.J. Ward missed practice again on Wednesday. Danny Trevathan was limited. I really think Heath Miller is going to be a significant factor in this game. You know, it could be like what he had last week, you know, 10 for 66. So take that into account if you plan on starting him. But I think that just loosens up the defense a little bit, and he has a chance in terms of Ben to, you know, I think he'll get two touchdowns. I don't think it's a monster game for him, but I do think he's above 20 fantasy points. Like, I still think Stafford has a higher ceiling, but I think Roethlisberger is going to play well. I'd start Roethlisberger over Kirk Cousins.
And you both actually do have Blake Bortles ahead of Roethlisberger, but still Roethlisberger number 9 for Jamie, number 8 for Dave. You love the Saints this week, Jamie. Monday night at home against the Lions.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, the track record of Breeze in his building on primetime, and I know you brought up, it was either yesterday or Tuesday, I think it was yesterday, you know, what has he done lately? Well, he still had a 302 touchdown game against the Cowboys, however fluky it may have been, and it still counts. And on a Thursday night against the Falcons, he had 301, no turnovers. So the numbers are just staggering. It's, you know, 5,671 yards, 52 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in his last 17 primetime games at home. Obviously, the majority of that came when he had, you know, his full allotment of weapons and playing at a high level. But I still think this Lions defense is a little overrated in terms of what they've done defensively because of some of the teams that they faced. And yes, that includes Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think Rodgers has been playing like Aaron Rodgers has typically been playing. And they also caught them without Lacy, so their run game was really non-existent.
Can I lay out two scenarios and you tell me how likely they are to happen?
Sure.
Scenario number one. Tim Hightower steamrolls the Lions en route to a Saints win.
I see it happening. It's very
where Drew Brees doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, I think Brees probably hands off more than he throws in this game. That's certainly going
to
happen.
Scenario two, the Lions secondary comes to play and they attack Drew Brees, they sack him a bunch, and they knock away a bunch of passes and pick off Brees a couple of times.
He could do it. They were really good against Case Keenum last week, too.
You're not supposed to give them this kind of credit.
I'm not.
We're supposed
being sarcastic.
Oh, well, you're not good at being sarcastic. Based on that, I agree with you. I think Drew Brees has a monster game.
Number 5 for Jamie, number 7 for Dave. And I think the wide receivers are kind of tricky, though. Like, how do you approach the wide receivers for New Orleans?
Well, there's some numbers that are pretty telling. Cooks at home this year obviously has been fantastic. And, you know, I buy into that. I buy into usually what his targets are. And when he hits, just want to give you the exact number, he's been pretty consistent. 6 games in a row, at least 6 targets for Cooks. And he scored 8 fantasy points in a standard league in 5 of them. So I think that's kind of the floor is 8. And I'll take the over on 8 in this game. It's going to be interesting to see where Slay goes. For Snead, he's got 8 targets 4 times this year, including last week. And he scored at least 9 fantasy points every time he's gotten 8 targets. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who the second receiver is. I would obviously gamble on Snead more so than Colston or Coleman. But you saw last week, and it's the second time, I think, of the season where Colston had, I think, 6-plus targets, and he had a decent stat line. And Coleman is always a factor just because he's on the field. But I think Ben Watson's going to have a huge game this week, too.
Yeah. So Ben Watson has had 9, 8, and 11 targets in his last 3 games. Looked at Detroit against tight ends that have gotten 6 targets or more against the Lions. 6 of them have scored a touchdown. There have been 7 that have gotten 6 targets or more, and 6 of them have scored a touchdown. So that bodes well for Ben Watson, who's a top.
Well, I got another one for you. There are 9 tight ends, 9 tight ends with 5 of them, and 7 of them have scored touchdowns.
9 tight ends with 5 targets?
Yep.
And 7 have scored touchdowns, yeah. So you get targets, you get touchdowns against the Lions if you are a tight end. And finally, you like Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin. You were talking about it with Stephen O yesterday. Well, actually, let me come back to this. Cooks or Cobb this week, guys?
Cooks.
Cooks or Mike Evans?
Cooks. I don't like Evans the more I think about him.
Really?
Yep.
Even without Vincent Jackson?
I've got him 20th in my rankings.
He's 24th for me.
All right, Maclin or Evans?
Maclin.
I've got Evans ahead of him.
Jamie, why do you like Alex Smith, Mike Evans, or Alex Smith, Jeremy Maclin?
You know, to be honest with you, and this includes Cousins, it's this group of Cousins, Cutler, Smith, Rivers, Derek Carr to a certain extent, depending on Sam Shields. There's just I don't really love any of them. And it's just, okay, yes, some have good matchups, some have okay matchups. Smith has the best matchup of any of these guys by far. And I do think that it's going to be tough for them to run on Baltimore because that's still been what Baltimore has done well. So I think this is one of these games where Alex Smith finds you two touchdowns. And I think one goes to Macklin because they're so bad against wide receivers. It's very similar to when they played Chicago and Macklin got concussed in that game. He had single digits in targets. It's the only game this year where he's had single digits in targets to score a touchdown. He did not get to 10 fantasy points because he got hurt in that game. He would have been on his way to a big game. So I think this is a very similar situation for him. I think he gets double digits in fantasy points, and I do feel comfortable starting him. And I think Alex Smith, this is one of his two touchdown games, so I think he gets you into the top 12 at quarterback this week.
I'll play devil's advocate, though I'm not sure how much I believe in what I'm saying. Alex Smith in the Chiefs offense just hasn't had many great games. I think it's only been five games this year where Smith has had over 20 fantasy points. And I don't know if they're a team that wants to pour it on an opponent, meaning I don't think Baltimore's offense is going to have much success. And I think the Chiefs are just as happy to win a game 14-3 or maybe even 10-3 like last week.
I don't think they wanted to win the game 10-3. They almost lost at the end.
They almost did blow it at the end, but they still won it. And Andy Reid was very comfortable with how they won it and how the game went. They didn't even get in the red zone last week. So they played a bad defense last week. It seemed to be a favorable matchup. Plus they were at home. I'm a little worried that Baltimore somehow comes to play, but that might actually end up helping Alex Smith. So I understand why you like him. I don't know if I'm ready to go with him as my starting quarterback. And in week 15 with my fantasy playoffs on the line, I'd feel a little bit safer going with Macklin, but I think he's best as somewhere between a low end number two and high end number three fantasy receiver. I think your argument is really good. I just don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to trust this Chiefs offense, given the makeup of them and how conservative they are.
Okay, let's go to three that we don't like now. Three we don't like. Dave, you don't like T.Y. Hilton and Frank Gore in this game against Houston.
No, I think that, first of all, just with Gore, he's been playing poorly, not a great rushing average despite last week. And even though they're at home, I think that offensive line is going to be under siege, and you're going to see the Texans' run defense bounce back after a tough game last week. As for T.Y. Hilton, this is assuming Whitehurst is the quarterback.
I think it's either way.
And not Hasselbeck. It might.
I agree with you. I wouldn't trust him this week.
I have a much easier time trusting him if Hasselbeck is the quarterback. But if at
60%, 75%?
That's definitely part of the problem. But the other part of it is Whitehurst has never produced a 100-yard receiver. And only twice in nine starts has produced a double-digit fantasy receiver. And it was in the same game. And it was when he was with Tennessee, I think last year against Washington, if I recall correctly. So Charlie Whitehurst stinks. He's going to be terrible for everything in Indianapolis, including Gore. And even if Hasselbeck plays, like Jamie said, it's not a great outlook for T.Y. Hilton. He's, to me, he just had his first game where he didn't score a touchdown and still got you 10 fantasy points. It came in week 14. I don't think it's a sign of him getting hot. It might have been just because of the matchup last week because they took on Jacksonville. So I don't have a lot of confidence in T.Y.
Okay, and the third guy you don't like is Matthew Stafford, and we talked about that. And I don't know, like, I see all your points about Stafford. I just wonder, you know, how, since they don't really run the ball well, how on earth, like, how does he not have a good game? You know what I mean?
Well, but that's the question I've asked four out of the last 5 weeks.
But they're playing
the
Saints.
They can't run the ball well, and he's got running backs that catch passes out of the backfield.
But he's playing
the Saints.
It's amazing. The Rams are better defensively. The Packers are better defensively. The Saints, they might be playing better since they fired Rob Ryan, but they still aren't that good at all. They're still horrible. And they give up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks by five fantasy points. Five more fantasy points than the second worst team.
But what, how's that stat look the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, but Jameis Winston, like, as bad as Stafford is.
Because the Texans took their foot off the gas and stopped. The reason I liked Brian Hoyer in that game was the matchup, and I thought New Orleans would be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense was a disaster.
Sure.
And so the minute that they built that lead, it was run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we see Texas run the ball and do it well?
No, not very often.
And then Tampa Bay, yes, the Saints defense played very well. That's a rookie quarterback that, for all intents and purposes, melted down in that game. And
he hasn't been good for fantasy anyway.
Right.
You know, Winston.
Which was part of the reason why I didn't have him ranked as high as other people did.
Right. And Stafford hasn't been great, but...
Listen, they gave up five touchdowns at home to Cam Newton a couple weeks ago. They're obviously not great since the bye. Since the bye. three games. But I think they're better. And I just think if you're looking for Stafford to get you 20 to 22, I will say he can get you there. To get you 30
or even 26. All right.
I just don't think he's got it in him.
Okay. Jamie, three, you don't like Ronnie Hillman. Go ahead.
I mean, he has not run well, really, for a few weeks now, but the Steelers have done a very good job in just containing running backs for the majority of the season. He's touchdown dependent the last two games for sure. CJ Anderson looks like he's going to play this week, which I think really hampers the both of them because I still think Anderson is the better of the two in just in terms of the eyeball test. And so I wouldn't want to start any of the Broncos running backs, particularly this week. I also think this is a situation where Pittsburgh is ahead. The Broncos are chasing points, and that negates their ability to run the ball with success. Also, last year, in the two games for Kubiak against the Steelers, now granted, different personnel, different defense coordinator for Pittsburgh, Justin Forsett did not have great games against them either. So just in terms of his as a coordinator versus that Steelers defense.
How about Buck Allen?
Who, Hillman?
Yeah.
He's out of my top 24. Like, I would start Bryce Brown over him. I would gamble on
Me
that.
Too.
How about Buck Allen? Would you start Bryce Brown over Buck Allen?
I don't like either one, but I would start Allen over Hillman if Anderson plays.
Would you start Allen over over Bryce Brown?
No, I would gamble on Bryce Brown. I think we saw last week a good example of what this Ravens offense is going to look like when they're playing a good defense.
Yeah, the Chiefs are, I think, you're like number two DST this week, so you definitely want to start them and good against the run. And Travis Kelce is another guy you don't like, and yeah, he's been bad.
But we like Alex Smith. It's just how tight ends have done against Baltimore.
Yeah,
so
I mean, what you're looking at there. Smith, for his, you know, prior to last week, his two big games, Kelce did nothing.
Yeah.
Or I guess he did well in the Buffalo game. He had a touchdown in the Buffalo game.
Hey, listen, if you like to make multiple FanDuel lineups, you like to enter tournaments, take a shot, I will make a case for Phillip Rivers in a little bit. But that's the fun thing about FanDuel. You can take a total flyer on a guy that hasn't been playing well. Maybe his price is knocked down and enter him in a tournament. And you can turn a few bucks into thousands of dollars. A great part about FanDuel is the strategy that goes into making your lineup. Also, there's no commitment. You can play as little or as often as you like. You can play for $1. You can play for a lot of money. Big contests with thousands of people, small 50-50s or even smaller groups with your friends. There's football, there's basketball, there's college sports, there's hockey. Eventually, baseball will be back. So much to do on FanDuel.com. So much fun. And it'll make your Sundays even better. Trust me. Get a FanDuel lineup. Get multiple FanDuel lineups. Get in on the excitement. Go to FanDuel.com. Start playing right now. I promise you, you will love it just as much as I do. And I cannot wait to set my lineup this weekend. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. All right, let's go through the games. I want to start with Pittsburgh and Denver. I think we have spoken about Ben Roethlisberger enough. Again, Blake Bortles is ahead of him, but he's a top nine quarterback. So how about D'Angelo Williams? Are you guys worried at all about D'Angelo Williams in this matchup?
No.
Okay. top 10 guy?
Top five.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How about
his usage is good. It's
kind of like we talked about yesterday, Adam, with, you know, Gurley and I think Martin, but I know you mentioned Gurley. You know, it's just, these type of guys at this point in the season, the talent is there. They're going to touch the ball so much, you know, especially in terms of Williams, what he does catching the ball. I just can't imagine getting away from him.
Okay. Now I wonder about Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. You guys have full confidence in them this week?
Brown for sure. I could see people starting other guys over Bryant. It's going to be a little tough for him.
But he's still one of those receivers where one catch can make his game. So I don't know if I'm ready to completely run away from him. I think he's a good number two wide receiver.
I'll give you a perfect example. I'm looking at one of my teams right now where it's I am in a consolation bracket because my team was terrible. And I have to decide between Eddie Lacy and Martavis Bryant as a flex. It's a PPR league and I'm still going with Eddie Lacy.
I'd go Bryant.
Happy for you. I'm going Lacy.
So, yeah, I just think it's funny. Like, we were worried about Julio last week. We were worried, or some people might be a little worried about Odell Beckham this week. Antonio Brown doesn't really get talked about that way. And forget about, like, who the cornerback is. I know Josh Norman's probably the best, but Denver, just how they do against wide receivers, they are the best. I mean, they're incredible. You just think being at home, Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger's going to be throwing, like, they'll just get their numbers?
Yeah, there's a part of me that thinks that the Broncos steamroll them, actually. And they just, they play lights out.
The Broncos steamroll.
No. What did I say?
The Broncos.
I meant the Steelers.
Yeah, I feel that too. I feel the same way.
I agree too. I think you, the thing about Brown that makes him so difficult to cover is those plays behind the line of scrimmage, you know, where he's able to, you know, get some blockers in front of him and that turns, you know, a 2 yard pass into a 20 yard gain. And then sometimes he breaks those. So he doesn't need to have a lot of plays down the field where, you know, he's fighting with a cornerback and they do such a good job of getting him in space. So Brown to me is a must-start guy. The one time we've seen him struggle, which was probably Richard Sherman's best game in a long time, was when they had Sherman trail him, and you saw what Roethlisberger did, whether he didn't throw at him or what Brown did. Maybe it was Roethlisberger didn't throw at him, or it was just a matter of good coverage. But Bryant, to me, is somebody that if he does not catch this one big play, you're not going to have a huge stat line from him. So I'd be a little bit nervous about him for sure.
All right, would you rather start Martavis Bryant or Jeremy Hill in a standard scoring league?
Bryant.
Hill.
More upside. Hill's good too, but I think Martavis, I don't know how they don't match up with him or do match up.
There's a good number for Hill. Every time he's gotten 16 carries in a game, he's had at least 9 fantasy points, and that's happened 3 times in the last 4 weeks. And I cannot imagine them not feeding him the ball in this game against.
That's fine, but I think Martavis can do better than 9 fantasy points.
Oh, he could. He could also have a terrible game. Like, what did he have last week?
He had a bad game last week.
Right.
He's not a big yardage guy, so. You know, you're kind of looking, or catches guy. You're looking for the touchdown from. Anyway, Pittsburgh, as we look at, Heath Miller, by the way. Would you rather start Heath Miller or Antonio Gates this week?
Gates.
But it could be closer than you think by the end of the day.
How about Heath Miller or Richard Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Miller or Ebron?
I've got Ebron over Heath Miller. I don't know how I really feel about that.
Miller, 100% in PPR leagues. And I got to look at it in standard. I might move Miller ahead of Ebron.
Okay, guys. So let's look at the Denver offense now. Pittsburgh allows 5 fewer points per game at home than they do on the road. The Denver running backs you want to avoid. How about, and Osweiler you're not starting, even though Pittsburgh not good against quarterbacks. Anyway, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, what do you think about them this week?
I think this could be a 2-touchdown game for Osweiler, because I do think they're going to have to throw so much. Now, there'll be some turnovers along with it, but like you said, you can't start Osweiler. But I do think his receivers actually come to play. You saw the last time they were kind of in this situation, which was against the Patriots, it was the last time Emmanuel Sanders really played well. He had 100 yards receiving that game. Now, obviously, Demaryius Thomas dropped every pass that was thrown to him, but he still had 13 targets. So it's not like they went away from Demaryius Thomas. So I think Thomas is a must-start guy, and Sanders, I think, is going to actually end up surprising you. You can't start him as anything more than the third receiver just based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks. But I do think this is going to be one of his better games with Osweiler.
There's no doubt that the weakness of the Steelers' defense is their pass defense. Their secondary is bad. They miss tackles. They're out of position often. It's just a matter of how effective the Broncos' passing offense will be and how many chances they take downfield. I don't know how many they'll actually take. They might have to end up taking some because I think they're going to play from behind. I like Thomas. I don't love him. I probably haven't given him enough love in my rankings. I've got him, I want to say, 18th at wide receiver. Maybe I move him up a smidge. Not a lot, but a smidge. And then I really did sink Sanders because I don't like what I've seen from him the past few weeks. But Jamie's right. There's definitely appeal for him because of the yards after catch factor. And there's definitely a chance that the Steelers make some mistakes and blow some coverage or miss a tackle, like I said, that helps the Broncos receiver rack up some numbers.
There's also, and I know, you know, you want to take a revenge game into whatever, him going back to Pittsburgh. There's not a lot of love between him and Roethlisberger. I don't know if you.
Oh, yeah, I've caught on to that.
When he left Pittsburgh, he, like, his first practice, he like, immediately said, Peyton Manning is a great leader. And that rubbed Roethlisberger the wrong way. He was talking about it this week. Sanders said he didn't intend it that way. So I wonder if there's, you know, on both sides of things, like, you know, Roethlisberger, I'm gonna show you how good of a leader I am. And Sanders, look, I like you, but I still, you know, my best production has come since I left you.
Okay. And Heath Miller is a decent option. I'm sorry, Vernon Davis, a decent option this week. But do you like Heath Miller better than Vernon Davis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go to our next game, and we'll go to the Monday night game. Detroit at New Orleans. I know you guys like Drew Brees. Start of the week for Jamie, number 5 overall, number 7 for Dave. Now, Tim Hightower, we haven't really talked about him much. He had 28 carries, 85 yards, terrible average, but he did score a touchdown. So would you rather start Hightower or Denard Robinson?
Robinson.
I would, too.
Hightower or Latavius Murray?
Hightower. I don't like Murray this week. You're starting him by default at this point.
Latavius?
Yep.
It's on Latavius. I think he's got a little more upside than Hightower, and I think they both have the same type of floor.
Hightower or Emmanuel Sanders?
Hightower.
Hightower.
All right, anything that we did not cover in this game? I mean, even though Detroit is so bad, or the Saints are so bad against running backs, can you trust any Detroit running back?
No.
I mean, look, last week, Joik Bell was their best guy.
Yeah.
Joik actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, he's had a couple games like that recently.
Yeah, I watched this game, and I thought that the Lions just totally misused their running backs. It's really,
no way.
Would you believe it? Riddick is their passing downs guy, and then they just mix and match all three of them actually into the running downs. There were some series where Riddick just didn't come off the field. And in a game where you figure that the Lions will play from behind, I think Riddick makes the most sense as their best running back, but it's not one that you'd start with much confidence. Same thing as we've always said, PPR, he's good, but standard, you don't want to take a chance.
Okay, and Calvin Johnson is a top 12 wide receiver for both of you, so you'll get back to him. How about Golden Tate? Any thought on starting Golden Tate this week?
I think what could end up happening is it really comes down to where Brandon Browner lines up, because that's where Stafford should just go all day long.
Yeah, probably.
So if Browner's on Tate, you could see Tate have a big game. If Browner's on Calvin, which probably is what they end up doing because of bigger body, then he's going to have a big day.
All right, would you rather start Golden Tate or Ted Ginn?
Ginn.
Ginn standard, Tate PPR. I mean, Tate's been pretty consistent the last four games, at least 7 catches in 4 games in a row. So if Ginn doesn't score, you know what the number is going to be. So I'd feel more comfortable with Tate and PPR. But certainly in standard, I would take the chance on Ginn with the touchdown potential.
And look, Eric Ebron, you got a team that just is terrible against tight ends, but Ebron has been so bad and so uninvolved. So he's 12th for Jamie, 13th for Dave in standard. He's 14th for Jamie and 13th for Dave in PPR. All right.
We both have him ahead of Kelsey.
That's interesting. I could see that.
Yeah, I don't like either one.
Miserable.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our next game. We'll go to Tennessee, New England here. Tom Brady, number 2 quarterback this week behind Russell Wilson. So if you have both of them, you can start Russell Wilson. Tennessee is so bad against quarterbacks. It should be a great game for Brady. The New England running backs. Now, we talked about Brandon Bolden. Like, how about James White? Is there room for James White this week, guys?
I like White better than Bolden. I think you look at what he's done. He's their short area guy. You know, so they've been keeping him on the field when they're in the hurry up. Anytime they get down there, they just run up to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball, give him a touchdown. It's happened 2 of the last 4 weeks. He also caught a touchdown in the last 4 weeks. So with the way that he's being used as a receiver, the fact that he's, still getting those short area carries, I think you got to buy into it. And, you know, the one thing which I think could be a factor, I necessarily believe Stephen O and what he was saying yesterday, that if Edelman comes back, that hurts James White. I don't really see that. I think he'll still be just as good.
I think it'll be just as good because of just the situation at running back for New England, and they don't have anything left.
Okay, so White is a guy that you could start both of them. They're both options.
You could start both of them. I'll take Bolden in a standard league over White. I think they could both score in this game, and I think Bolden has a chance of getting just a few more yards.
All right, so Danny Amendola, he really hasn't been doing that much in standard scoring leagues. Is he a must-start guy, Danny Amendola?
But when you see he hasn't been doing that much, I mean,
he's had double digits 2 of the last 3 weeks.
He had 100 yards against Buffalo, and he got hurt in that game. Then
all
he
right,
missed
two,
the next
two
week,
of the last
came back
four
for a touchdown, and then he was bad last week.
But he was 10 for 79 4 weeks ago. So those are 4 games after Edelman got hurt.
But wasn't the 10 for 79 the game Edelman got hurt?
Yeah, but he got hurt in the first quarter. That was a Giants game.
So throw it out.
Yeah.
Why am I throwing that out?
Because he got hurt.
He's played 2 of 3 without Edelman.
He scored 1 touchdown.
3 of 4 without Edelman.
He scored 1 touchdown. You need touchdowns in standard scoring leagues.
We've said all along that Amendola is a good number 2 wide receiver, and he's gotten you double digits 2 of the last 3. Last week was a disappointment. Happens sometimes with all the greats.
Well, last week also Gronkowski Gronkowski
Hopkins
came
back. And it happens with Amendola, the three greatest receivers in the game.
All right, so would you start Danny Amendola or Martavis Bryant this week?
Bryant.
Amendola.
But you like Amendola.
Eat my guy.
All right, so Rob Gronkowski, you are starting. I know you guys.
I think this is a week where Brandon LaFell scores a stupid touchdown, but just the way things are. And definitely the matchup against Tennessee.
Okay, guys. Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota, we don't like this week, right?
Nah, he might get you like 16 or 17.
You're counting on 10 fantasy points from him as a
receiver? Yeah.
He had a 41-yard touchdown catch that got him to 20 points.
Yeah, I mean, Jets. Yeah, you're not starting Mariota. Okay. You're sitting to Antonio Andrews. Any Tennessee wide receivers?
Not one.
Okay. Delanie Walker is interesting.
I'm surprised that more teams don't copy what New England does defensively against receivers. Put your best guy on the second best guy and then just bracket covers the top guy.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think Logan Ryan's playing pretty well lately too.
He is, but he's getting help.
Yeah.
You just have Malcolm Butler eliminate the other guy. It's the same thing they did last year in the playoffs. They eliminated T.Y. Hilton with two guys and they put Revis on Moncrief.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Delanie Walker. Jamie has him fifth. Dave has him ninth in standard.
I have way too high. Totally agree.
Patriots really, really good against tight ends.
Yes.
Now, the Jets also really good against tight ends. They allowed the third fewest fantasy points to tight ends, and Delanie Walker had 7 fantasy points, so that was ninth last week at the tight end position. So is that kind of what you're expecting this week from Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, PPR, you kick it away from him.
Like you'd start Jordan Reed, Antonio Gates, those guys over Walker?
Yeah, I don't know. Adam, what are you looking at? What, you said I have what number?
Fifth.
Fifth?
No, he's seventh.
And PPR, you have Delanie Walker fifth.
Yeah.
All right, so I must have switched. I'm sorry. So you have him seventh in standard and fifth in PPR?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry,
he's now eighth. I put Watson ahead of him.
All right. But not like you wouldn't start Ebron over Delanie Walker.
No.
No way.
All right.
No. Like, I understand that Delaney's got a tough matchup and he might not be great, but there is significant downside to Eric Ebron catching 2 passes for 15 yards versus the downside for Delanie. It's still 50 or 60 yards, I would say.
Right.
I think the downside is what we saw last week. 70.
Which is even more 70. You're right. That's going to be the guy that the Patriots take away on third downs and red zone, by the way. I don't think they'll be as concerned with Harry Douglas and DGB.
There's still a chance Wright can play.
We got about 10 minutes left. So Houston is at Indianapolis. Anybody that you're excited about starting in this game other than DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
I would not be excited to start Chris Polk, but if you're desperate at running back, I think he might be able to come through with 6 or 7 points.
Fair point.
Would you start Chris Polk or Giovanni Bernard?
Or Giovanni?
Yeah.
Is that who you said?
Mm-hmm.
Gio.
Yep.
Okay. Chris Polk or Frank Gore?
Polk.
I think I have Polk ahead of Gore.
Okay. Sit Kobe Fleener. Houston DST is top 10.
It's a great matchup for him, by the way, but he's so frustrating.
Who?
Kobe.
Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah, last week
he never plays well when Dwayne Allen's healthy.
Good hair, never there.
You can start Houston's DST. Jamie likes Indianapolis' DST a little bit. He has him 13th. Dave does not rank the Colts' DST.
Yeah, no way am I trusting them.
Kansas City at Baltimore, guys. Kansas City at Baltimore. Now, we talked about Javoris Allen. Maybe we should talk a little bit more about him just in terms of a flex. Javoris Allen or Jarvis Landry flex?
Landry.
Yep.
Javoris Allen or Golden Tate flex?
I might take Allen there in a standard league.
I'll take Tate.
Okay, really down on
I might take Allen in PPR too. I know it's bad, but they're still gonna lean on him. They've got no choice.
Would you start anyone in the Baltimore passing game this week?
No.
Kamari Aiken, if you're looking for a third receiver. I mean, you gotta give him credit for what he did against Seattle.
Yeah.
That was nice. But I think that's kind of toward the ceiling again this week. And they like this kid named Jeremy Butler. And so that's a guy you go to in PPR leagues if you're totally desperate.
All right, so Macklin is around, between 21 and 27 in the rankings in PPR. And Macklin is 28th for Dave in standard and 19th for Jamie. So Jamie likes Macklin a little bit more. We talked about that. As far as Sharkhandrick West goes, like, this is a guy who, when Spencer Ware was not in the picture, even against Denver, Sharkhandrick West had a huge game. You know, he had a lot of carries. You know, how do you feel about Sharkhandrick West this game? Yes, against a very good run defense, but West was kind of like matchup proof before.
Yeah.
Star guy wears up.
Yeah. I think just the fact that he's getting a lot of touches helps him out a lot.
The only okay. guy that, like, the replacement options I would start over would be Robinson. I'd put him ahead of Hightower. I'd put him ahead of the Patriots guys.
It could be close with Hightower, though, but I think I agree with you. But we've got to know that Ware is out.
If he doesn't practice
today. Yeah, if he doesn't practice all week, then fine.
And with Travis Kelce facing a team that gives up the third fewest fantasy points to tight ends, you can get away from him. You guys said you both have Ebron over Kelce?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you'd go like Heath Miller over Kelce?
I probably should make that happen.
Zach Miller over Kelce?
Definitely. Provided that he's over his illness in time.
Okay. Okay, then. Atlanta is at Jacksonville, and even though Jacksonville sucks against quarterbacks, they don't trust Matt Ryan. He is number 19 for both of them. Matt Ryan or Marcus Mariota this week?
I'd go Mariota.
I'd go Ryan.
You are Ryan.
Start or sit Devontae Freeman against the Jaguars, who allow 3.6 yards per carry but 11 rushing touchdowns.
I'm hoping that the Falcons get their heads out of their patoots and learn to lean on Freeman a little bit more and give him more carries, throw the ball at him a little bit more, screen him up, and give him a chance to make some plays against Jacksonville. I think it's the smart thing to do. On paper, the Jaguars' run defense looks great, but if Posluszny doesn't play, they're vulnerable. And I think Atlanta can try and take advantage, and it would make so much sense for them to try and get Freeman open in space. And just throw little short passes and use that as an extension of the run game. Now, there's a lot of things that the Falcons... I know, but they didn't do it last week, and it ticked me off.
Well, I mean, he didn't play the second half.
Yeah, I guess that's probably a fair point, is that it was a blowout, and they just figured, rest him up. This won't be as much of a... I don't think there's as much of a chance of a blowout in this game as there was last week.
So Freeman's a top 12 guy for you.
Yeah,
all.
He is.
So you're probably starting him. And obviously Julio Jones, top six. But that's pretty much it for the Falcons offense, right?
Yeah, big bounce
Julio's
back game for Julio.
Bounce back game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Blake Bortles.
I moved to the number one ahead of Doug Baldwin.
That's pretty gutsy. I think that's a little gutsy.
You moved Julio Jones number one. Wow, okay.
Huh?
Julio Jones number one. Okay. Because I thought he was six yesterday or five or something.
He was. I moved him up last night.
Okay. So anyway, Blake Bortles is number six for both of these guys. They love Blake Bortles this week. So Jamie has Breeze, Bortles, Rodgers, 4, 5, and 6, or 5, 6, and 7. And Dave has Rodgers, Bortles, Breeze. So the three of them are back to back to back in some order. Now I will bring up that Atlanta is still fourth best against opposing quarterbacks, but you're not buying it?
Oh, no, they're good. But Bortles is good too. And I think you look at just the way he's been playing, he should, you know, continue to play at a very high level.
Yeah, Atlanta hasn't really
Didn't Cam Newton just smash them up last week?
Yes. I'm not sure Bortles is quite there, but Atlanta has...
Cam did the ball in the air. It's not like Cam did it running the ball.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, the Jacksonville running backs, we've talked about Denard Robinson. All right, how about Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas? What do you expect from these guys?
Lots of targets and good numbers.
I hope Allen Robinson is not going to be a victim of too many mouths to feed.
That's what you think happened last week?
I mean, what else could it be? And also, look, Vontae Davis did a nice job on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the
now he's getting Trufant.
Two good corners. That's why he's, you know, lower for me than probably he has been in recent weeks. He's 13th, you know, still a must-start guy. But I think there's, you know, opportunities. Like, Doug Baldwin's easy.
It's like a mild, it's like a mild downgrade for all three of them.
It's a mild downgrade for a lot of big receivers this week. I mean, you know, Beckham gets Norman.
Yeah, so now he's not number one. Now he's like five.
Right. The Broncos guys get...
Right.
I mean, the Steelers guys get the Broncos. Mm-hmm. You have Robinson getting a tough, you know.
I mean, it's almost thank God for Doug Baldwin at this point that he's broken out. Otherwise,
okay. So let me ask you this. Of the replacement running backs this week, how many would you start ahead of Allen Hurns?
Allen Hurns?
Yes.
Like in a flex spot? I think just Denard Robinson.
I'd be okay standard league with Hightower because I do think he scores.
Okay. Because nobody's, I mean, you can't sit Allen Robinson.
No, The thing with Hearns, which is interesting, I think he plays well. I have him as a start and starts it, but he hasn't exactly had big games at home. Last week was one of his rare ones.
Okay. All right, guys. So here's the deal. We got 2 minutes before Dave has to go and 3 games to play. So should we save some for tomorrow, or what do you think?
Just save them for tomorrow. Besides, I want to give everybody a reason to buy a nice holiday gift for the children in their lives.
Right now or tomorrow?
Right now. And tomorrow.
Oh, why don't we do that tomorrow, and let's knock out Miami-San Diego.
There's not going to be much to say about Miami-San Diego, so go ahead.
Okay, Miami going to the West Coast on a short week. Phillip Rivers may be playing his last game in San Diego. Do you think he could...
The Chargers might be playing their last game in San Diego.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean.
Not Phillip Rivers, the whole team.
I understand. That's what I meant.
Might be the last time they have Gatorade in San Diego at the sideline of a pro football game.
Way to be efficient here. Do you think Phillip Rivers could have a big game? Would you start him over, is he a top 15 quarterback?
Yeah, he should be.
It wouldn't surprise me if he wound up being one.
Yep. I think he's better suited. You mentioned it. You teased it in FanDuel. You know, he could have one of those, games that come out of nowhere for sure.
All right. So Lamar Miller, top 12 running back for you guys. Who else in this game would you be looking to start?
There's Gates.
Gates
matchup
Landry.
Is really good for Gates.
Yeah. I can't get away from Landry with all the targets. I mean, he's still been, very consistent when he's gotten the targets.
Jamie made a really compelling case for Melvin Gordon on FFT on Wednesday.
Another FanDuel guy. Yep.
It actually makes really good sense that Melvin Gordon has his first double digit game of the year.
I think he scores.
Yeah.
This is my Isaiah Crowell this week.
He has not scored all year, right?
Right.
He's been a giant bubble of crap all year.
Yep.
Yeah.
But this week,
they keep giving him the ball.
Yeah.
They don't get away from him, which is, look, for what it's worth, it's encouraging.
And we're all kind of on board with the Dolphins
being terrible.
Yeah. The stats bear that out, but I don't know how excited they're going to be to take on the Chargers and fly across the country and do all that.
Right.
And I think this could be a game where San Diego just runs amok. Literally and figuratively, and you'll see Melvin Gordon have a good game, and you'll see Phillip Rivers do better than we're even giving him credit for.
All right, so Dave and I will break down the rest of the games tomorrow, and I got a whole bunch of tweets and emails to read, so stay tuned for that tomorrow. We'll go a little bit more efficiently, a little more quickly, and Dave, you can talk about, I'm guessing, Naughty Nana tomorrow?
Of course.
All right.
If you buy it at palmcirclepress.com, let me know. I'll either email you or follow you back on Twitter, whatever you like, and I'll help you out with your fantasy leagues.
Awesome.
You should go there. I'm going to come to your house. I will deliver Naughty Nana personally to your front doorstep.
That'd be cool.
That would be awkward.
Jamie, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday on Fantasy Football Today.
You got it, buddy. Have a good one.
Dave, thank you.
Whatever, dude.
Whatever to you as well. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.